Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here today on this Friday after Thanksgiving for our Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. As I said, it's Friday, November 25th, 2022. Hopefully you're all waking up from your turkey food coma. The tryptophan is starting to wear off, and you're starting to wake up. Maybe you ate a bunch of things that you don't normally eat, and your body is in revolt against you as well today. But so it goes. It's a holiday, right? So you break your fast. We're going to take some time today to consider wisdom again, and the wisdom that comes from on high, that is from God, which is likened by Solomon as that of a father guiding his sons, all right? So we're going to look at that today. And of course, there's a theme of Thanksgiving interwoven as well, given that's the day after. Let's see, anything else? Oh, I did already send out the weekly prepare email. That went out on Wednesday, both to remind you of the Thanksgiving service. If you didn't take the time to scroll all the way through the email, you might want to do that before this coming Sunday. And the reason being, I'm just pulling it up here. Let's see. When was that? Updates from St. John. Oh, that's the sermon. Here it is. Prepare for Thanksgiving. You'll note a few things that you may have missed. First is Sunday. There is no Bible class. There's the quarterly voters meeting. I don't know why we have it on Sunday, but we do. And so there it is. Well, I say I don't know why. The thought is that people will stay after church, but they don't stay for Bible study, so I don't know why they would stay for a voters meeting. Let's see. We also have midweek services for Advent starting next Wednesday. The following Saturday, we have quite a few things going on. We've got the decorating of the church, so that'll be for Advent 2. We'll have the church decorated, getting ready for Christmas. Also, the parade float, the school parents and volunteers will be decorating that float. Information can be given if you'd like it. And then the Advent by candlelight is next Saturday afternoon. There's also, we're still collecting for the food pantry for Thanksgiving. So if you could make it Wednesday night, bring your canned goods, boxed items, whatever appropriate for the interfaith food pantry. You can bring that on Sunday yet. Let's see. You also have a special call to help us catch up on our budget shortfall. The interest rates are going up, and so our line of credit is not as useful as it used to be because we're paying a substantial amount of interest on that. And then the thing I wanted to draw your attention to most, and maybe you missed this, is you go all the way through the email to prepare. It's also available on Facebook, Twitter, etc. To the prepare section for Sunday, which has the summary of the Sunday as well as the readings. You'll note that there's a note about it being divine service setting for. Divine Service Setting 4 this Sunday. We haven't used this service probably in a couple years now, so you may not remember it. It may not come back to you quite as quickly as you'd like. So I encourage you to actually listen through the parts of the service before Sunday. I'm giving you a link. You'll see it down below. That also allows for you to hear it sung, and that way you'll be well prepared. There's actually quite a bit less singing in Service 4 than Service 3, so that makes it a little bit easier for me in some ways, all right? In other ways, it's different, so it's also a change, so you can catch that. And of course, Wednesday night's sermon is available, so you can go listen to that as well. All right, so with that very long introduction, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, memory verse. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3, verse 2. Our psalm this week is Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right. You'll note there in the middle section to our readings for this day, verse 5, I think. Ah, now I can see it. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. All right. So how can you know, how can you understand this? It's actually by the word of the Lord, right? Which is exactly what the psalmist is giving to you. I was having a conversation this morning, actually, to this point, in the way that we understand the world, the way that we see, even the way that we could critique history and see patterns and trends, the way that we could look, you know, for maybe the ideas of conspiracy throughout time, that these things are actually informed by God's word. We expect men to be greedy, to seek power, to seek to control. We expect men to collude with one another. We expect those in positions of authority and with, you know, seeking wealth, then to misuse their office for their own personal benefit or for the benefit of their friends. We expect there to be deceit and lies and corruption. And so, I mean, that's not just a black pill, but it helps explain a lot of what we see and what we experience, right? And this is the reason why, you know, we're not purely against the law. We recognize that there is a place for God's law, or a law, the law of the heart, even, to be codified and used in the civil estate to control or to coerce or even to to curb, as the Catechism says, those from committing evil. All right, but we can't know this and we can't understand this without God actually informing us. One of the greatest deceits that we actually believe is that man is inherently good and always seeking not only their own personal well-being, but the well-being of those they love and even the well-being of those around them. All right. While that is true, that is by God's gift and by his blessing. And yet even our attempts at doing good are also, not bipolar, but they in themselves are deceitful because we're always looking for an angle to benefit ourselves in the process, right? How much charitable giving, even to the church, is actually in order to avoid paying taxes? So rather than give it to the government, they'll give it to the church. Well, the government actually incentivizes that. Well, why would the government incentivize that, right? And these are the questions that you're not supposed to ask, right? All right. Anyway, without knowing or having actually God's word, his works revealed to us, we cannot know, we cannot understand the things that we see. But actually having God's word, we understand why the wicked sprout like grass and why evildoers flourish. Because we know that ultimately they are being called to repentance like us. And if they refuse to repent, of course, refuse the work of the Spirit, then they will be doomed to destruction forever. All right. First petition of the Lord's Prayer, or excuse me, introduction. Our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that, with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. First petition, hallowed be thy name. What does this mean? God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. How is God's name kept holy? God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. All right. Again, wisdom literature. We're still in Proverbs. We read Proverbs 2 yesterday. We'll read Proverbs 3 today. You know these quite well. These are, again, the Father speaking to the Son with words of wisdom. Let it be. No, that's a different thing. Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. All right, lost my camera there, but you can still hear me, so that's good. Do not be wise, so we're talking about wisdom here again, in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to all your flesh. Do not be wise in your own eyes, and then what was the other thing? Oh, yes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And then here to the Thanksgiving. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Right? So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. All right. What a statement, right? Because you're thinking about, if I give the Lord of my possessions and of the first fruits, then I will have less, right? Not more. Of course, you have the frequent instruction from God's word that actually it is our unbelief that is the result of our poverty. Our poverty is the result of our unbelief, we'll put it that way. And again, not a popular way of thinking, right? But this is why the Lord always wants us to recognize that everything we have comes from him. And in order for us to believe that, right, he asks that we first give to him, that is namely to his church and for the use of the church. And then only afterwards that we would then reserve some for ourselves. It's really kind of a remarkable viewpoint, is it not? That you would give first and then the Lord would provide of what is left. And again, I think we've talked about this before, but I know I pushed back with some members who are trying to present this idea to me in my previous parish, but it's right here. All right. And then, also notice that as far as earthly wealth goes anyway, what what need have you of all these things that actually don't last, right? The thing you fill up your barns with, or that of all the wine, right? What is even more, what is even more of a wealth to you, but wisdom, right? She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you desire cannot compare with her. So maybe today on this Black Friday, you know, where you're being encouraged, bombarded even, I know I am, via email, with email after email saying, come and buy our stuff, right? And it will make you happy, and you'll make your coffee taste better, or whatever it is. Well, instead, we're here spending a few minutes in God's Word, which gives us wisdom, which is even more precious and lasts even longer, that is into eternity. All right, so there we go. Speaking of what we should treasure, that is wisdom, Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Sometimes called the votum, right? And it is appointed, actually, it has been appointed in our hymnals for some time as that which we would say after a sermon, right? So you sometimes hear me say that after a sermon. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at least, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, and having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to the riches, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, a lovely confession from St. Paul about changing one's mindset. I know that's a kind of a contemporary term, but I think it's right to understand. Paul here is not only trying to shift their mindset or help them recognize that maybe the Spirit has already changed their mind so that they live not for themselves but for others, but then also to recognize that that's true for Paul as well. Does he live for himself or does he live for others, right? So he first encourages them to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, there's our theme for the day, let your requests be made known to God, right? So again, don't be anxious, but give it over to God, right? In prayer and in faith, all right? And then there's this encouragement to noble, virtuous, just, pure living, right? And where does that come from? That comes from the word, the external word that has been preached to them by Paul, right? The things you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, right? Now, notice it's not only the things that he preached, but also the way that he lived. And I know this is, again, another not-so-popular teaching, but Christians are living witnesses. And you see how Paul says that to Timothy, I believe, or maybe it's Titus, but I think it's Timothy, where he says, always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. Well, people recognize by the way that you live a hopeful life. You live by the white pill and not by the black pill, you know, to use modern parlance. And thus, they will ask, How is it that you are so optimistic or cheerful? Or how is it that you are so generous in times when, you know, the economy is turning down? How is it that you have not become more stingy in this current climate, but instead have become more generous? And you say, because my hope is in the Lord, and he has promised to provide for me, for example. Right? So then you can make it, be prepared to make that defense. Right? And that's exactly what St. Paul is doing here, right? Look, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. You cared, but you didn't have the opportunity before. And I didn't actually tell you that I needed it, because whatever I have, whether it's little or much, abased or abounding, I've learned to be content, right? And now he's encouraging them by giving his own personal example to be content in all things, right? I've learned to be full or to be hungry, probably not full or hungry today, but to abound and to suffer need, right? Regardless, Christ is with me. Again, we always look to material possessions as an indication of God's favor and of his love. And here Paul reminds the church in Philippi, and us, of course, that the amount, whether we are healthy and well, or whether we are sick and poor, regardless, it is the Lord who is with us, right? He sees us through the valley of the shadow of death, and he also is with us as we dine on green pastures, right? To quote the psalm. So regardless, whatever the Lord gives us opportunity for. But of course, he's giving them thanks that they have shared with him in his time of distress. And not only that they had shared with them, but they had also sent aid to Thessalonica. So he reminds them that their primary, or their duty I would say primary responsibility isn't just for him, the one who planted the gospel there, but for all those in need, right? And indeed, now I'm well cared for by you, right? So he gives them thanks, and that this is a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God, this offering of thanksgiving. But ultimately, notice who he gives credit for all of this. Not the church in Philippi, not individual people there, like say Epaphroditus, right? Who delivered those gifts to him. But ultimately, it all comes from God, who will supply his need and all their need according to the riches, his riches in the glory of Christ Jesus, right? To our God be thanks forever and ever, right? So again, on this Black Friday, and I guess we're coming up on Cyber Saturday, and then whatever Monday is, and then Giving Tuesday, right? It's all about wealth and use of wealth, money or poverty or lack, you know, somewhere in between. Maybe think in terms of faith. What has God put before me? Who has he given me to care for? How can I best serve my neighbor, both in their physical and bodily needs, but also in their spiritual needs, right? And then think of how wealth can be used in that context to care for both body and soul. And then that, you know, is this virtuous living that St. Paul commends, that is a sweet-smelling aroma, acceptable sacrifice, because it's love for a neighbor and faith toward God, right? Of course, you want to go buy the TV for your house. Okay, fine. that's good too. But think first, what did we have back in the Proverbs? Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, all right? So Solomon also would have you keep your priorities straight, all right? I don't know. I have other things I could share with you on both these texts, but I think that's sufficient. We'll just use that for our little meditation today. Pastor's brief homily. All right. Let's sing the second stanza of our hymn. Zion hears the watchman singing, right?
Christ's heart is risen, her light is come. Now come, O blessed one, Lord Jesus, God's own Son. Hail, Hosanna, we enter home, the wedding home, to eat the supper at thy home.
All right. Let us pray. O Lord, absolve your people from their offenses, that from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our frailty we have brought upon ourselves, we may be delivered by your bountiful goodness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Pray this day for the preaching of the Holy Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it spread throughout the whole world, for the persecuted, and for the sick and dying. We also pray today in thanksgiving with Dolores, Jim, Ray, Tanya, who all celebrate their baptism. Pray for the households of our church, especially Michael and Michelle, Timothy and Kim, Norman and Donna, David and Sherry, Jason and Nicholas. We pray for our catechumens, Christian, Wyatt, Aaliyah, Lydia, Charlie, Kaylee, and Kimberly. Pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering, especially Marcella, Joe, Kelsey, Walt, Christopher, Dan, Brad, Ron, Marla, Betty, Pat, Merlin, and Heidi. Pray for our homebound Bev, Ed, Mickey, Paul, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially the work of the Federates families. We pray for our government and those under authority. And we pray with the family and friends of Willis, who grieve his death. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, that's our congregation of prayer for today, Friday, November 25th, 2022. It's good to have you with us here today. I was actually thinking about sharing with you from Luther's On the Freedom of the Christian, which is a really excellent work. But I thought we'd dwell more on the idea of wisdom being the thing for which we most strive forward for, and that wisdom in how to relate to all the material things of this world. So hopefully that was a blessing for you. Tomorrow we'll gather, same time, 9 o'clock. To look at Sunday's Old Testament and Epistle reading. Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. So as I said at the beginning, I encourage you to go use the links if you're watching online. Otherwise, pull up the email, the weekly email. And that was also shared on the social media platforms. You can listen to audio selections of Divine Service Setting 4. So you have to scroll about two-thirds of the way through and you'll find the links there. Please take the time to do that. That will help you sing them, since we'll use accompaniment this first week or two, but it obviously is preferential if we can do it unaccompanied. Keeps my hands out of, I don't need to use technology during church. All right. So there we go. God be with you all. Keep you safe. We'll see you tomorrow. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.